Remember James Yee? He was the West Point graduate and Muslim chaplain at the Guantanamo Bay prison, arrested 3 years ago on charges of espionage. He was then held in solitary confinement for 76 days, only to be exonerated and finally given an honorable discharge. Yee is clearly one of the casualties of the U.S. government's war on terrorism. And his arrest raises serious questions about due process at Guantanamo and the treatment of American Muslims. James Yee has written about his experience in a book called For God and Country. He recently stopped by our studio to talk about his arrest with Ann Strainchamps.
I recall distinctly that I wasn't surprised being harassed because I am a Muslim American in this, you know, dangerous post-9/11 era in which everyone's civil rights are being eroded, especially the American Muslim community, who's under enormous amount of scrutiny. So I wasn't surprised at being harassed, but I did think it was had gone too far when they actually arrested me and threw me in jail, and then within days I'm being accused of these heinous crimes, spying, espionage, aiding the enemy, and then I was threatened with the death penalty.
Were you frightened?
Initially, I thought it was ridiculous that they even arrested me and threw me in jail, and it got scary when they started bringing forth these charges, these capital crimes, and started threatening me with the death penalty, and got even more frightening when they actually moved me to a super maximum security prison, a naval breakdown in Charleston, South Carolina. They threw me in the back of this truck. I was shackled like prisoners down in Guantanamo are shackled, you know, at the wrist, at the waist, and at the ankles, all connected in this suit of chains. This guard pulls out of this bag that he's carrying these blackened out goggles. They're painted opaque. And then he puts them on my eyes, so now I can't see anything. And he also takes out these heavy industrial type earmuffs and puts them on my ears. So I can't hear anything, I can't see anything, and I'm shackled like prisoners are shackled down at Guantanamo.
And this is how you'd seen prisoners treated in Guantanamo, with the sensory deprivation.
Exactly. It's a tactic called sensory deprivation, which is done to instill confusion, intimidation, fear. But like you said, I knew about this tactic because I observed this is how prisoners down in Guantanamo are treated when they get flown in from Afghanistan or from wherever they're taken into custody and brought to Guantanamo.
So suddenly here you were on the other side of the fence. You'd gone from being an American military officer serving as a chaplain to detainees to suddenly being a detainee and treated like one yourself. Did you wonder or begin to feel that whether this was simply kind of guilt by association?
Well, we can take it even to a further level. I was someone who was the most patriotic of American service members, serving and making great contributions, in which I was highly praised for. I had received, you know, joint service accommodations. I had received the best officer evaluation report that I had ever received in the 14 years as a commissioned officer, dated 2 days before I was arrested, to all of a sudden not just being arrested and being considered a potential suspect or criminal, but to the extent that they were accusing me of the most heinous of crimes, which carried a death penalty. And, you know, I was considered someone who was involved in treason.
Well, eventually, those charges, everything you were charged of, was dropped, and you received an honorable discharge from the Army. Why do you think you were arrested?
Yeah, in the end, everything was dropped, and when I resigned my commission, I received an honorable discharge. But get this, when I was separated from the military, they also gave me a second U.S. Army Commendation Medal for exceptional meritorious service. But why was I targeted? Excellent question. You know, I say it was because of three reasons. One, I am a Muslim American in this post-9/11 era in which our community, the American Muslim community, is under enormous scrutiny. And I actually think that our community is the one community that can really improve and increase national security exponentially. What's going on now is the complete lack of proper understanding of Islam and the Muslim culture. And as a result, many people are being wrongly swept up, and our intelligence agencies, our law enforcement, are going down the wrong road in trying to defeat extremism or terrorism. I'm a Muslim American, and I fell into that net that was cast over all Muslims.
But there are plenty of other Muslim Americans serving in the Army. They haven't all been rounded up and treated the way you were.
Not rounded up. But yes, down in Guantanamo, there were two other American Muslims who were also thrown in jail. There were several other patriotic American Muslims who were serving down in Guantanamo, who were under official investigation for things like subversion or potentially part of the spy ring, which they accused me of being the head of.
Do you think you came under suspicion because during your time at Guantanamo, you had made some complaints about the treatment of prisoners you'd seen there?
That's a second reason why I believe I was targeted, because I was aware of the enormous amount of abuses and cruel and human degrading treatment that was taking place down in Guantanamo. I came to know about these things through my interactions with prisoners, learning firsthand some of the things that they were subjected to in the interrogation rooms. And as an officer, it was my obligation not only to make these things known, but I handled it in a very professional way, in which I just merely forwarded this information, the complaints and concerns of abuse of the prisoners, to the chain of command so that these problems would be addressed. You know, because ultimately these types of behaviors on the part of American personnel and mistreating the prisoners led to riots, disturbances, suicide attempts, hunger strikes within the prison camp, and that disrupted detention operations. So,
what sorts of abuses did you complain about?
I made known the types of things that were happening all over the camp, both in the detention side of the operation as well as in the interrogation rooms that I became aware of. Predominantly those things that were directed towards these prisoners with regard to religion, and that falls directly in my lane as a chaplain. So things like the desecration of the Quran, in which, yes, the Quran was being desecrated down in Guantanamo when I was there. Guards often threw the Qurans on the floor during these shakedowns of the cells, and this would happen in front of the prisoners, and it infuriated them. It resulted in, again, these mass protests and disturbances. The interrogators were doing the same. They would step on the Qurans, kick them across the floor, these kinds of things. And this is when the prisoners went to the extent of saying, look, we object to the way our holy book is being treated. The Quran is considered the literal words of God for all Muslims all around the world, and we hold it in the highest esteem and respect.
Now explain, because you read in your book that for many of the detainees, the abuse that the Quran was subjected to was actually worse for them, much more upsetting than any physical abuse they themselves suffered.
Right. When I was there, now you got to look at the time frame. This was going into the first year and a half of their detention down in Guantanamo. And so their major complaints of abuse then was their abuses towards them as Muslims, them being discriminated against, being abused, subjected to humiliating treatment with regard to them being Muslims. Now, when we look at the current situation today, they're well into their fifth year of detention. I believe that a lot of the earlier types of abuses have stopped, but now the indefiniteness of the detention, the lack of due process, the restricted access to attorneys, the continued restriction on access to having contact with their families is having a much, much greater toll on them psychologically, emotionally, and mentally. And this is what has led to the massive hunger strikes that we saw in the last year, as well as the successful suicide attempts in which three of the prisoners actually killed themselves this past June, the first deaths to occur down in Guantanamo. So that's an indication that still the conditions down in Guantanamo are severely dire and having a tremendous negative, detrimental toll on the prisoner's state of mind.
Cases of abuse toward detainees are notorious during wartime. I mean, this has happened in just about every war I can think of. Who do you tend to blame for the way prisoners were treated at Guantanamo? The military higher-ups who were really making the decisions, or the soldiers on the ground level, the actual interrogators themselves?
I would say that the minimum level of blame has to be put on a level which is no lower than the commander of the Joint Task Force Guantanamo, a two-star general. His name was Major General Jeffrey Miller. He was in command of Guantanamo when most of the abuses occurred down in Guantanamo. There was actually an official investigation conducted by the U.S. Southern Command, which actually recommended, a three-star general, recommended that General Miller actually be reprimanded for not properly overseeing the interrogation of certain detainees, which led to gross abuses.
You're saying, really, that the general sense of what was acceptable and how the camp would be run is all...
is systematic and policy-driven.
Are there any Muslim chaplains at Guantanamo now?
Today, there are no Muslim chaplains serving that joint task force. After they involuntarily removed me from the joint task force in September of 2003, another Army Muslim chaplain did serve for a few months. But since his leaving the joint task force, no other Muslim chaplains have permanently, you know, been stationed down there for this joint task force.
And why do you think that is?
One, I think that's wrong because the enormous amount of information and contributions that the Muslim chaplain can bring to that task force with regard to understanding Islam and the Muslim culture and the religious routine of the prisoners is very, very valuable. But I think the military does not want a Muslim chaplain down there now because Muslim chaplains in that role will surely object to some of the controversial issues and abuses that are going down. And I believe that's one of the reasons why they wanted me out of there, because I was objecting to things which were clearly un-American.
James Yee talked with Anne Strangechamps. Yee is a former U.S. Army chaplain at Guantanamo Bay. His book is called For God and Country.